Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. It's a joy to be here together. And last week, we talked about repentance in Jonah chapter 3. And we're going to go ahead and finish the book of Jonah today. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, last week we read, the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Even the king of Nineveh humbled himself and repented of his sins and commanded all of Nineveh to repent. Their repentance was more than words. They took action and turned away from their sins. Now in Jonah chapter 3 verse 10, it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. God had compassion on the people of Nineveh. He showed them mercy. And we talked about that, and from there we went on to discuss how God always shows compassion. He forgives nations and individuals who repent from their sins and turn to him. How do you think the prophet Jonah responded to these events? Well, if you know the story, his response is a little bit shocking. You think that he was rejoicing that his preaching was listened to and that the people repented? You think that Jonah will give thanks for God's mercy and grace? Not so much. Let's go ahead and read Jonah chapter 4, and we'll start with verses 1 to 9 and see how Jonah responds to God's mercy given to Nineveh. 3. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. Jonah was angry. He was angry because the Lord had mercy on the people of Nineveh. Kind of a surprising response of Jonah there. A little shocking. He even says the reason he tried to flee to Tarshish was because he knew God would show mercy to the people of Nineveh, and he didn't want that to happen. They were the enemy. And Jonah was also angry about his own discomfort. It's hot. It's uncomfortable out here. In both cases, if we were to look at it a broader view, in both cases, Jonah is unhappy because he did not get his own way. He didn't get what he wanted. And he's unhappy about that. And what Jonah wanted is he wanted to sit there in comfort and watch Nineveh be destroyed by the hand of God. He didn't get that. Instead, Nineveh repented. God showed mercy. The vine that sheltered him withered, and the hot sun and the east wind were making him miserable. And now Jonah wants to die. He's hurting out there. He's uncomfortable. He's unhappy. It's very sad that Jonah did not want the people of Nineveh to be saved. It's very sad when anyone hardens their hearts so they would not want God's mercy to come to another person. It's a very sad thing. And, you know, it's foolish that Jonah was so unhappy about his own discomfort. He's upset about the heat and the lack of shade where he's sitting in the east wind. But actually, if he didn't like sitting in the hot sun, all he had to do was get up and move to a cooler place. You know, all he had to do was move. He could have even gotten up and walked back into the city of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh, they had repented of their sins. The repentant people would probably have welcomed Jonah back into their cool gardens and maybe even their homes. But he just sits there and suffers in the heat, in the desert outside the city. Jonah sits and suffers. He's either unwilling or unable to let go of his anger and to get up and change the situation. He could get up at any time and change the situation, but he doesn't do that. Instead, the last words we hear from Jonah in the book of Jonah is the last words he says are, "I am angry enough to die." Now, to us, we look and we think, it doesn't seem like Jonah really has that much to complain about. You know, really, think about it. God could have condemned Jonah when Jonah tried to run away to Tarshish. But instead, God pursued Jonah with his relentless grace, and he used the occasion of Jonah's running away to bring salvation to the sailors on the ship. God could have allowed Jonah to drown in the sea or die in the fish's belly. But instead, God gave mercy and he rescued Jonah and brought him to the beach and gave him a second chance. And Jonah went to Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh could have killed Jonah for his harsh preaching. He didn't bring a happy message. They might have risen up and killed him. But instead, they repented of their violent ways and they let Jonah go in peace. Now Jonah's mission is finished and he's free to go wherever he wants. He can go home and get some rest. But that's not what he's doing. Jonah doesn't go home. He sits outside the city and waits. He's hoping God will change his mind and destroy those Ninevites. The desert heat is terrible and Jonah suffers. He grows faint. Feels like he wants to die. And the vine that God had provided to shelter him for one day withers and is gone. Hey, think about it. Jonah's sitting out there when he can go anywhere he wants in peace. But he's sitting there. And God is patient with Jonah. God even gives Jonah grace for a day, a day to cool off with the vine sheltering him so Jonah can cool off physically and emotionally. But the next day, I think God was saying, you know, Jonah, it's time to get up and get going. And he sends a worm to chew the vine so that it withers. And God's saying, you know, Jonah, stop moping and get up and go home. Don't sit there and be miserable. Get up and go home. Or get up and go back into the city and drink a cold glass of water. But Jonah won't go. Jonah's holding on to his anger. He claims he has a right to be angry. At this point, Jonah would rather die than repent of his bad attitude and live. Have you ever been where Jonah is? Have you ever been there? When you're free to get up and change your situation, but instead you just want to sit there and be angry. You're not ready to go change it. You just want to sit there and be mad because you didn't get what you wanted. Hopefully what you wanted was a better thing than what Jonah wanted. But you know, a lot of us, I think, have been there. So angry that we choose bitterness over peace, and we choose to pray for destruction instead of forgiveness, and we aren't even willing to make ourselves more comfortable by moving, but we almost want to be uncomfortable and angry about it because our emotions have taken over and we're just angry. And we don't even want to stop being angry. We want to sit in anger and bitterness. Have you ever been there? Ever had a day like that? Hopefully it didn't last years and years, but I think a lot of us have had a day or two like that. When something went wrong, it didn't go the way we wanted, and we're just upset about it. And we don't even want to deal with anything else or think about going. You know, at times like that, there's often a sort of little recording going around and around in our head. Our little recital of our anger. If we could listen in and plug in somehow to Jonah's mind when he was sitting out there, maybe in Jonah's head we would hear something like this going around and around. Jonah's out there, he's like, I can't believe God spared those horrible people. Nineveh has been our enemy for hundreds of years. They are cruel, wicked idol worshippers. What's wrong with God? God spares his enemies and now he's cruel to me, his prophet. I served God for years and he won't even let me have a plant for shade. Took it away. What was Jonah doing out there? Jonah was listing his problems and counting his sorrows. You know? Have you ever done that? Have you ever sat and just listed your problems and counted your sorrows? There's this and this and this I'm mad about. And why is that and that and that going wrong? A lot of us have done that. A lot of us have been there. But if we're not careful, that bad attitude can lead to growing bitterness and a downward spiral that just sucks the joy out of life. Listing your problems and counting your sorrows, that can leave you depressed. If it goes on, it can even leave you suicidal. You might be like Jonah saying, I don't want to live. It's better to die. I've got all these problems. In our hearts, a lot of us have been there, and maybe even this morning, some of us are in that dark and lonely place down inside. Made it out to church if you're here this morning, but inside, are you feeling dark and lonely? I've got some good news for you this morning. That's where you're at. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in the place of darkness and sorrow. We can break free. We can change that recording in our head that's going round and round about our problems and our anger. How can we do that? Well, first, we can begin to count our blessings and things we are thankful about instead of counting our sorrows and problems. We can make a list of things to be thankful about. And we can start to give thanks and say, thank you, God, for your blessings. And with the help of the Lord, we can escape from despair and we can learn to live in peace and joy. We can change that recording in our head. We can get a new recording. We can memorize some scripture, a psalm or something, or we can write out some things that we're really thankful for. If we search, they're always there. And change the recording in our head. Maybe write out some favorite Bible verses and put them where you see them every day and memorize them. And whenever you catch yourself starting to repeat your sorrows, go to the Word of God instead. The psalm of rejoicing or a favorite Bible verse. We can change. Jonah could have chosen to rejoice in the Lord's mercy and grace. Instead of sitting in anger, Jonah could have said, wow, if God will forgive the Ninevites, then God will forgive me too for being a runaway prophet. We see the great mercy of God given to someone else. We can rejoice that that means it's available for us as well. Jonah could have listed some things to be thankful for. He could have given thanks that God gave him a second chance and that God saved him from death in the sea and that God kept him safe in Nineveh and that he was still healthy and strong. He could get up and go to a more comfortable place if he didn't like sitting in the sun. Jonah had a choice. He could have given thanks that the vine was there for one day instead of being angry that it was gone the second day. Jonah could have rejoiced in having life and peace and freedom to go where he wanted. He had much he could have rejoiced in and given thanks for, but instead, Jonah focused on self-pity and thoughts of death. Not a good focus. You know, just as we choose our words and our actions, we also choose the attitude in our heart. We can make choices about the things that go round and round in our mind. It's not denying that that problem is there to say, you know, there is a problem and there's something that I weep about, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on things of joy and things of peace and things of blessing. We can change our focus and we can change the tape in our head to better things. If you're here this morning and you've been struggling with this kind of thing, you've been on that downward spiral, getting more and more stressed and angry and bitter, let it go. Let it go. And I encourage you to change directions. Make some new choices. So that you can have a better life. So that you can bring glory to God. Make some new choices. List things to be thankful for. Instead of listing your problems. Choose a Bible verse or a praise song or a list of blessings and make that the new recording in your head by repeating it over and over. And when the sorrows and the problems come, we're not pretending they're not there. They're still there. But if you can't fix them now, then leave them be. And if you can fix them, get up and change it. Don't sit in the hot sun if you don't need to. And if you need a little help in prayer or someone to come alongside to be with you in the effort to go to a better place, then ask a brother or sister for help. Someone in the church or one of the pastors or leaders or just a friend, say, you know, I've been struggling. I need help. Can you pray with me? Can you talk with me? Can you help me get up and stop sitting in the hot sun and find some cool shade and some rejoicing? Above all, spend some time in prayer. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord about it. You know, Jonah just dumped all of his problems right out there in front of God. And you know what? That's okay. God doesn't mind when we tell him what we're struggling with. He's glad to hear from us. It's like if you haven't seen your child in a while and they come in and they have a scratch or something and they're complaining about it. But yeah, you're concerned about their pain, but you're just happy to see your child. Oh, there you are. I looked all over. Where were you hiding? Oh, I was playing down the street and I fell. But I'm glad you're home. Might remind them later they're not supposed to go play down the street, but you're just glad they're home. And when we go to God, He's just glad that we're coming back to Him. Even if we come with a mouth full of struggles and sorrows and turn it over to Him, and then He'll begin to change it for us. But watch your heart and watch the things that you allow to grow there. Proverbs 4:23 teaches us, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen. Let's guard our hearts. Watch what we allow to grow in our heart. And don't let a root of bitterness form or anger. But instead, find things of joy and blessing for the garden of your heart. The book of Jonah, it ends with God's reply to Jonah. To Jonah's complaint. We get God's reply and then the book just stops. And we don't hear any more from Jonah. We don't hear what happened or whether Jonah finally got the message and repented. You know, as far as the book of Jonah tells us, Jonah could have just sat there until he died. But if he had done that, we probably wouldn't have Jonah in our Bible, right? We probably wouldn't have the book of Jonah in our Bible unless he got the message and repented and got up and went someplace else. So I think we can be pretty sure that God's reply to him finally broke his heart, and that Jonah got up and went to a better place, and that he drew closer to God and that he changed his attitude. I think we can be pretty sure about that, but it's not actually written. At some point, though, I think, perhaps very soon there, Jonah must have realized that God was not only working through him, God was also working on him. Right? And that's something we all need to remember. We need to remember this. When we serve in the church, when we serve in ministry, whatever we may be doing, God may be working through us to minister to others or to help the work of the church. But all the time God is working through us, He's also working on us. Working on changing our attitudes, on rooting the dark spots out of our heart, on helping us to draw closer to Him and to be more like Him. For example, in my own case, God has given me the privilege of serving at OIC here as pastor for the past 11 years. And I thank God for that privilege. And I'm blessed and humbled to know that despite many mistakes that I made along the way, that God has worked through me to minister to a lot of people. But I am even more humbled when I think, when I reflect on how God has been working on me these 11 years, pursuing me with His relentless grace and changing my heart year by year. I have a long way to go still, but God's been working on me. drawing me closer to Him. And, you know, I want to be honest. Like Jonah, sometimes I wanted to run away. Like Jonah, sometimes I had the wrong attitude. I just wanted to sit and go, about things when they don't go right. But God doesn't give up on us. And His relentless grace has pursued me, and it will pursue you too. Can't get away from God. You can't get away from God. His grace will come after you. God does not give up on us. He pursues us first to lead us to faith and salvation through trusting in Jesus. And then after salvation, He still pursues us because we need to grow in our faith and in the knowledge and wisdom of God. And He helps us in this. He helps us day by day and hour by hour to become more like Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, it teaches us, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. You know, it doesn't just say that He predestined you to be saved. It says He predestined you to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Salvation from the penalty for our sins through trusting in Christ and His finished work on the cross. That's not the graduation. That's the entryway into life. A life of meaning and joy. God continues to give us grace as we walk with Him, as He works to sanctify us by conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord, that we might be more like Him. And one aspect of being sanctified is to learn to have God's heart for the nations. We could talk a lot about God's heart, but I want to focus right now on God's heart for the nations, for all the peoples of the world, for every nation. The Lord loves all people, and He wants them all to come to Him to repent and be saved. And Jonah lived before the time when Jesus came into this world as a man, so Jonah did not know Jesus by name, but he knew the Lord. And the heart of the Lord for the nations has never changed. From the very beginning of the Bible to the last page, it's always the same. God loves the peoples. He loves each and every person. God wants them all to come to Him. He wants them all to come to salvation. And we're going to look now at the closing words of the book of Jonah, and we see God's heart there for the people of Nineveh. And we also see how God is trying to change Jonah's heart to draw him to be on the same page, to think the same way as God. I think these words must have touched Jonah's heart deeply, and I think they did probably bring Jonah to repentance from his bad attitude. But the author didn't tell us that. And I think that's because the author of the book wanted to end with the words of God and not with the works of man. Jonah chapter 4 verse 10 and 11 says, but the Lord said, okay, Jonah's been complaining and now it tells us, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh, the city, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. If you were paying attention, that was a joke, right? Can't tell their right hand from their left. Nobody gets that. Okay. Now, we see here how petty Jonah's concern really was. Sure, we all care about being comfortable, but Jonah's concern for his own comfort was really very shallow and not at all what God was concerned about in the whole situation, not the main thing. Jonah was worried about the vine, but God was concerned for the city and all of the people in it. Jonah was thinking, I want to die. But God was thinking, I want to save thousands and thousands of people. Jonah's thinking about dying, but God's thinking about bringing life to thousands. Saving them from death and judgment and the penalty of their sins. Now the reference to not knowing the, we'll try again, right hand from the left, right? Okay, it's too hard a joke. Maybe I'm the one that doesn't know my right hand from my left. The reference to not knowing the left hand from the right could refer to the moral ignorance of the people of Nineveh, but the more obvious interpretation is that God is speaking of the children, and that he's saying in this great city of Nineveh there are 120,000 children who are so young they cannot tell their left from their right yet. In other words, Jonah, what about the children, Jonah? Don't you even want them to be saved? I think it must have broke Jonah's heart to realize his attitude compared to the heart of God. I think God must have melted his heart by pointing to these innocent children. If there's 120,000 children, there's so many more there. Maybe a city of 500,000, we don't know exactly. But the book of Jonah ends without saying anything about Jonah changing his heart. I think the author, just when he wrote, he wanted to leave that open for us to think about and to ponder and to think about our own heart. And I think he wanted to finish the book with God's words, so that God's words could echo in our mind and challenge us as well. God was concerned about the great city of Nineveh in the book of Jonah. And you know, God is concerned about our city as well. How many innocent children are there in Osaka? I think there's a photo there, right? There we are. How many innocent children in our city? And how many adults are there that need to repent of their sins and turn to God? The sins of Osaka might be different than those of Nineveh, but everywhere people need the Lord. They need to turn from their sins. And the population of Osaka is much bigger even than Nineveh. And beyond Osaka, we have the whole Kinki region on our doorstep. Right? How many people came from Kyoto this morning or further away than Kyoto? Yeah. Quite a few. People come a long way sometimes to come to OIC. Kyoto and beyond, Kobe and beyond, sometimes even Wakayama. Nada. We have the whole Kinki region on our doorstep, as well as the city of Osaka. And God wants to work through us to reach these people that are all right on the doorstep of OIC, really. Just beyond the doors and down the street. At the same time, God is working in our hearts as well, and he's changing us to be more like him and challenging us in new ways as he works through us. God loves each and every person in this great city just as he loved the people of Nineveh. But unlike Nineveh, you know, Nineveh, God sent one prophet from Israel to go to Nineveh. But Osaka, God has sent, he's brought all of us here to witness to his love in this great city. We're all in this together to witness of God's love in this great city, That's what we're here for. It's part of God's plan, you can be sure. We are all Jonah. We are all Jonah in that we have been called to a great city to preach the word of God, to share the love of the Lord. Sometimes we, like Jonah, sometimes we may feel like running away. Sometimes we may feel like hiding inside our closet or our ofuro ba. That's my favorite place to hide. In the hot tub. We may feel like running away. Sometimes we may even have a bad attitude and get angry. But God still asks. God asks us, should I not be concerned about that great city? Yeah. We should be concerned about that great city. We're all called to proclaim the name of Jesus in our city. That's what OIC is here for, is to proclaim the name of Jesus in the city. That's what we are all here for. Amen. Now, since Karen and I are getting ready to leave, it may seem like we are running away to our own Tarshish. But really, the things I'm saying apply everywhere we go. Wherever we go, it's a place the Lord has led us to. And as His church, it's always our role, our privilege to proclaim the name of Jesus wherever we go. As Christians, we're meant to be salt and light to the world, to share the love of Jesus. Wherever we go, we have the awesome privilege and responsibility of proclaiming the love of Christ, the name of Jesus. And although Karen and I will be gone for a little while, we're going to be back because Osaka is still our home. Until the Lord moves us away, we're going to take a 4-month trip and then we'll be right back here in Osaka. So today is my last Sunday as pastor of OIC, but in June, Karen and I will be back in Osaka. If the Lord so wills, that's the plan as far as we know, and we'll continue to serve in proclaiming the love of Jesus in Osaka in some kind of role. Not sure exactly what role it will be. But we love this city, and we want to continue to have the privilege of speaking the name of Jesus here. And we want to encourage each and every one of you to speak the name of Jesus, to show His love in word and deed. Christ came to this world to share the love of God and to bring us salvation through faith in Him. And He allows us to be part of that great work as well. Let's close with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give thanks to You for the joy and privilege of coming together in worship, for Your word that teaches us, that reveals Your heart, that challenges us to follow You. Thank You for each and every person who came this morning. I know some have come a long ways. We've gone to a great deal of effort to be here today. Give thanks to You for that, Lord, and thanks to each and every person, brothers and sisters, friends. Lord, help us all to draw near to You, to open our hearts wide to all of the people around us. Help us to recognize the end of us in our attitude, places that we don't even have the desire to see people saved. Help us to change our hearts and to remember that you love each and every one. Help us to count our blessings and to give thanks and to stop listing our sorrows and problems. Lord, lift up those who've been depressed and draw them to you and give them new peace and new joy. Lord, refresh those who are weary. Heal those who are sick. Provide for those who are needy. Teach those who do not understand. And bless each and every one. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.